The first reading is from the book of 1 John, chapter 3, beginning at verse 16. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need, but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with our words or tongue, but with the actions and in truth. This is how we know that we belong to the truth, and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. Whenever our hearts condemn us, for God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God, and receive from him anything we ask, because we obey his commands and do what pleases him. And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. Those who obey his commands live in him, and he in them. And this is how we know what he lives in, that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Whakarongo ki te kupu, a te wairua ki te hahi. Thanks be to God. Kia mo tonu tāna kupu kia tātou. The Holy Gospel, beginning chapter 10, beginning at verse 1. Praise and glory to God. Te whakamomiti te karoria ki te atua. I tell you the truth. The man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by the name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never know a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All whoever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the sheep who owns the sheep. Yep. The shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. This is the Gospel of Christ. Te ronga pai tēne a te karaiti. Praise to Christ the Word. Whakamoemiti tia ia te kupumana.
How high would you like it?
Oh, that's
yeah.
A bit high. A bit high?
Yeah,
I'll
take that away.
Yeah. Thank you. Yep, lovely. Yeah. Thank you. My name's Helen Stephen Smith, one of the retired priests of this parish, called into action now and again, especially when the vicar's on sabbatical. You may wonder how much the Spirit moves. And there's two things that I just want to say before I begin my actual sermon. about laying down our lives. Yesterday I was having trouble getting down the pictures, the illustrations that I wanted. And dear Keith Gully Davies happened to be in touch with me, and he said, oh, I'll find you some pictures. So I said one of those arrow prayers, Lord, you know the ones I really want that I've seen. Perhaps you could show Keith those. And then I went off and we had lunch, and a bit later I went back to my computer. 1:35, I think, was the time. And there were the pictures, exactly the ones I wanted. So the Spirit was moving, and that was really quite amazing for me. And I just want to acknowledge how much time and effort goes into preparing these services from so many people. And I've just been given a word a bit earlier today that someone thinks the Lord is saying, I again want to move by my Spirit in this place, for my love is so good, so great for all of you. So, now we'll come down to earth, shall we? I wonder how much we all know about sheep. A few people here will know a lot more about sheep than I do. But we've probably seen sheep in paintings or on TV, or maybe you've stroked one at a petting zoo or on an animal farm. But what kind of a picture do you actually think about when you think about sheep? In my much earlier years, my dad was a bank manager in Taumarunui, and I sometimes went with him when he looked over sheep farms and inspected the stock. I didn't like it very much, I confess. If you've been up close and personal with sheep, you'll know that their fleece actually isn't as white as snow. It's rather grey from all the dirt and the burrs and the ticks. They can be messy and smelly and not particularly smart. So, how do you feel about today's gospel when Jesus calls us sheep? It's not quite the compliment, is it? But it's a good illustration because it shows us that just as sheep are utterly dependent on their shepherd, we need to be utterly dependent on Jesus, our shepherd. So this morning, I just want to expand the picture of Jesus as our shepherd and us, his sheep. It's sometimes a bit surprising that the shepherd image was one that Jesus used. In his days, shepherds were despised. They were treated as outcasts because shepherds were considered unclean, and anyone who came into contact with them would also be considered unclean, ceremonially unclean. And shepherds weren't allowed to be witnesses in court. They weren't allowed to have any positions of responsibility. So when we hear Jesus saying, I am the good shepherd, we need to realize it actually was quite a scandalous image that he used to describe himself, and probably one that's lost to us today. But being an agricultural society, sheep and shepherds were common. So everyone listening would have been familiar with the images that Jesus used. It was part of the heritage and culture. You see, Abraham, the father of the nation, was the keeper of great flocks. Moses was tending the flocks of his father-in-law when God called him into special service. David was a young shepherd called in from the fields to be the king of Israel. And who can forget that when Isaiah spoke of the coming of the Messiah, he said, he tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. And Jesus expands the picture even further. I am the good shepherd. There it is. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep, he says. It's a very simple statement. But I think it tells us so much about the heart of our Saviour and the depth of his love for us. It shows us, first of all, that the Good Shepherd is a loving and caring leader. He doesn't merely watch over his flocks from somewhere out there. His love isn't distant or detached from us. It's an intimate, personal love, and it's deeply invested in the well-being of each person. Jesus cares so much for us that he knows the names of everyone here in the church today and the names of every other Christian throughout the world. What's more, he doesn't just know our names. If we commit our lives to him, he guides us, he protects us, and he provides for our needs. That's what someone does when they give their life for others. So how does Jesus guide us? If we're like the sheep, we can listen for and recognize the Good Shepherd's voice. When we're new Christians, it takes us a little while, doesn't it, to become familiar with his voice. But as we ask questions, I was awfully good at that, and as we try out the solution that comes into our minds and hearts, we learn to trust and obey his guidance. And very quickly, I think we realise that the Good Shepherd knows the best path for us, and he leads us accordingly. Unlike us, he's not influenced by strangers or the television or advice we may read or hear. He remains steadfast in his purpose and direction for us, especially as we listen to his voice. Well, what about being protected? I believe we can still go to the Middle East today and see shepherds whose flocks have mixed together while drinking water from a stream. On one such occasion, a tourist watched a shepherd turn towards the sheep and he called out, "Mana, mana." Mana means follow me in Arabic. Immediately, his sheep separated themselves from the others and followed him. Then one of the two remaining shepherds called out, "Mana, mana," and his sheep left the others to follow him. The tourist then copied the two shepherds and called out to the sheep, but they didn't respond to his voice. He was a stranger. "Will the sheep ever follow someone other than you?" the tourist asked. "Oh yes," replied the shepherd. "If a sheep gets sick, it will follow anyone." We've seen it, haven't we? People young and old get battered by the storms of life, and they're distracted by those who offer easy solutions. They lose their direction. They don't know who they are or where they're going. So they're sick, if you like. And in that state, they will follow anyone who promises a moment of happiness or a time of peace or forgetfulness or even the delusion that they are someone of importance. That's how people get led into cults, into New Age practices, into drugs and false religions. Sadly, none of the leaders of those ways of life will be committed to ensuring the well-being of their followers. But Jesus is. He contrasts the Good Shepherd with the hired hand who abandons the sheep, leaving them open to attack when any danger approaches. In Jesus' day, one of the ways the shepherd protected his sheep was to be their guard at night. As darkness fell, the sheep were led into a fold of rough stone or mud bricks with walls to protect the sheep, but it didn't have roof or a gate. When all the sheep were safely in the fold, the shepherd would lie across the entrance. It was up to him to guard the flock from wild animals and sheep stealers, often at personal cost. He had become the gate, protecting all the sheep. In the same way, Jesus laid down his life for us. us being his sheep. He made the ultimate sacrifice for our salvation. And you don't need me to remind you that salvation is found only in Jesus. And what about leading? I understand that sheep are not very good at looking after themselves. They're easily frightened. They have no way of defending themselves. And unlike dogs and horses, birds and cats, they can't find their way home if they get lost. More importantly, unless the shepherd makes them move on, sheep will eat every blade of grass in a paddock until there's nothing left, until it's soil. Sheep need pasture to eat, but they can't find it themselves, so they need a shepherd. You see, they might be a bit stupid, but they actually know who looks after them. Sometimes we aren't very good at looking after ourselves. We get lost in the maze of things that we need to do. We don't know which way to go or what to do first. It could be that some of us have financial needs, emotional needs, that we need help with relationships or with our children, or we might be going through some kind of grief. Maybe some situation has called us to feel overwhelmed or depressed or angry, or we could be ashamed of something that we've done. Those are the times we need Jesus to lead us, to help us with our needs, but not, can I say, with our wants. He'll sort us out. He'll show us how to proceed in whatever situation we're in. And he may well lead us on a path that takes us on a new direction. He will encourage us to put our feet on the path that he knows is best for us. We just need to remember that if we're 1,000 kilometres away from God, it's only one step back. And if we're that far away, don't be surprised if Jesus comes looking for us. But the question is, are we willing to have a crucifixion in that bothersome area of our life? And will we trust God for a resurrection? There's just one more section of this story that I think is important today. Jesus tells us that there are other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. He wants them brought in so they can listen to his voice, so that there is one flock and one shepherd. Once again, we see the heart of Jesus for everyone, no matter their background, their ethnicity, or their circumstances. He doesn't limit his love to a select few. Rather, he extends it to all who will listen to his voice and follow him. You see, it's not about who we are or where we come from. It's about our relationship, and it's our commitment to the Good Shepherd, to Jesus. Just as Jesus was calling the sheep out of the pen of Judaism, he was also calling Gentile sheep, you and me, from far off, to be part of one flock, the church, under one shepherd, Jesus. For me, this is not only a powerful reminder of the depth of Jesus' love for us, it's also a call for us to love and care for others in the same way. That call includes being obedient to the command of Jesus to go and make disciples. It's called the Great Commission. But it's the task of the church to spread what we know about Jesus to our relatives, our friends, our workmates, everyone, in fact, that we come in contact with. We need to succeed in this. But so often we feel tongue-tied or embarrassed, don't we, about sharing our faith. So the leaders of this church are going to help us out. They're having an outreach to the community in June using the Alpha course. Even if you've done Alpha before, come and do it again. It'll help to refresh your faith. It will equip you with new ways of talking to others about why you're a Christian. We want others to have faith in Jesus, don't we? If we do, this course will help to ensure that we don't fail, but instead succeed in obeying the Great Commission. So can I urge you, take a risk and come, and bring at least one other person. Finally, I want to point out the statement of Jesus when he says, "I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father." As we read the Gospels, we can't help but be aware that Jesus had a deeply intimate relationship with his Father God. And I found it really astonishing as I read these words again, as I realized that his relationship with us, his sheep, can be as deep and fulfilling as the relationship Jesus had with his Father. John Calvin expressed this when he said, "It is as if Jesus said that it is no more possible for him to be oblivious of us than for the Father to reject or neglect Jesus." Think about that, if you can, this week. Because it tells me that the intimacy of the sheep-shepherd relationship is based on the intimacy between God the Father and God the Son. I found it, and still find it, mind-blowing. Because Jesus, the Good Shepherd, he invites each of us to his table of acceptance, of extravagant love, and of abundance. He knows us, and we can know him intimately. He will provide for us, protect us, and lead us into whatever future is right for us. And nothing can separate us from him. So there's only one question for each of us this morning. Ask yourself, is Jesus my shepherd? Only you can answer that. He came and laid down his life for you and for me. He rose again so that one day each of us might be raised from death to life eternal. Do you know him as the Good Shepherd? And does he know you as one of his sheep? Let's take a moment and respond to his voice this morning. Lord, we know you are the Good Shepherd. May we be your sheep, following you, listening for your voice, being obedient to what you ask us to do. May we indeed be your sheep this morning. Amen.